So, a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I bought a chair, a nice, comfortable chair, at a store. It was a really big deal, because I don't think we've ever bought a brand new piece of furniture at a store. And we got married 36 years ago, so that's a lot of years of crummy old furniture. We were like two giddy kids buying too much candy. Should we really get this chair? Are we crazy? So when it was time to seal the deal, the salesman who had been helping us, a very nice, affable man, told us, "The price is this much, plus X for the governor's cut." Chuckle, chuckle. "So he can hand it to some homeless guy." Are you kidding me? I had that split-second pause where a thousand thoughts go through your head, but I could not let that just go and give it tacit approval. So I just said, "And I'm glad to give it." So what? There are lots of ways I could have responded, better ways, worse ways. But when I read today's gospel, I know what I should have said. I should have said, "And I'm glad to give it, because I'm a Christian." Do we ever say out loud to people, "I think this," or "I do this, because I'm a Christian"? Heck, I'm a priest and I didn't say that. I had a lot of years where I was apologizing for being a Christian. I call it, "I'm a Christian, but. I'm a Christian, but I don't hate anybody. I'm a Christian, but I think for myself." But when I read Matthew's gospel, that's not what Jesus tells me. I know what being a Christian is. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water, what you do for one of these, the least of my people. This today is a sending gospel. This is the last part of Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus has been sending his disciples out on a mission to spread his kingdom and to share his grace. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." What a gift! Whoever welcomes Jesus' disciples welcomes Jesus and welcomes the God who sent him. Well, we carry Jesus' message, don't we? Jesus' connection to the Father, Jesus' love and grace, when we go forth in his name as Christians. Do we ever even consider it a gift to give others an opening to welcome us in his name? I don't go forth as a Christian, but I go forth as a Christian, bringing grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I should have said to the furniture salesman, "And I'm glad to help homeless people because I'm a Christian." That would be evangelism. And today, Jesus tells his disciples, tells us, to be evangelists, to go forth to invite and share the radical welcome that brings Jesus to others. And make no mistake, it's still radical. In Matthew chapter 10 that we've been reading, Jesus sends his disciples into the world, describing the adversities they will face. He says, "Go without money and without sandals and without a backpack. But you don't go shoeless in the desert. Sheep don't seek out wolves. You don't want to be dragged before the authorities. You don't want to create dissent in your family." All these things he has told them in our recent readings about the mission is radical stuff. And furthermore, this going on a mission for Jesus doesn't sound very promising. But Jesus ends the discourse with the glorious up note that we hear today. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever offers even a drink of cold water," the cultural euphemism for a trifling thing, Whoever offers even a cup of cold water to you earns my reward. Could we bring or receive a more powerful gift? This is the mission of the kingdom. In ancient Jewish culture, a man's duly authorized messenger was to be received exactly as the man himself. And we set out as Christ's emissaries, his hands and feet in the world. And so we are charged to bring Christ himself to other people. Unless we're too reticent to say it. It's easy for me to stand here and say nice things about Jesus because I'm in church and so are you. I'm pretty confident you already like Jesus. But what if I say, I think we should care about people in need because I'm a Christian, in a furniture store, or a bus stop, or an ICE raid, or a voting booth, or a town hall meeting about racial profiling? How does my being a disciple of Christ inform my action in the world if I don't speak it and live it out loud? Evangelize. The Episcopal Church's presiding bishop, the fiery Michael Curry, said, "I want to suggest that we need a revival inside the church and out, not just in the Episcopal Church. For there is much that seeks to articulate itself as Christianity that doesn't look anything like Jesus. And if it doesn't walk and talk and look and smell like Jesus, it's not Christian. And if it's going to look like Jesus, it's got to look a lot like love." Bishop Curry calls it a revolution of values. That's what we Christians are called to evangelize. Because it's still radical to be a real Christian, perhaps now more than ever. In our nation, there is indeed much that claims itself as Christianity that doesn't walk and talk at all like Jesus. We are sent into that world to invite others to welcome Jesus in each other with radical hospitality, with a revolution of values that looks like love, not mushy, euphemistic love. Nitty-gritty love that says, "I'm willing to sacrifice so that you can have what you need, too." Love that says, "I'm wanting to live this way because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." Words matter. Yes, they do. Actions matter more. They always do. Bishop Curry preached, "Don't be afraid to be people of love. Don't be afraid to stand up for the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to reclaim this faith again." Amen. I want to help because I'm a Christian. I want to welcome the stranger because I'm a Christian. I want there to be health care for everyone and pay my taxes to make it possible because I'm a Christian. I want to live my life according to Jesus' call to be people of love. That's what being a Christian is. Evangelism, the call of today's gospel, is living your faith out loud so that people understand that your values are rooted in your being a Christian. And when you share the gift of your faith, you bring Jesus to others. Not that he's not already there, right beside every one of us, but so many of us don't know it or were told otherwise. We are called to proclaim Christ risen in the way that we live, so that people are drawn to Christ, not by a jabbing finger pointing out the rules, but by a strong embrace, shielding others from harm and embracing and welcoming them with love. Now is when we are called to love. Now is when we are called to go forth as disciples proclaiming Christ, proclaiming the kingdom for everyone. The one who receives you receives me. When we proclaim with our words and actions the love of Christ, we are not meant to hoard that. We are meant to go forth and proclaim it. Yes, it's a revolution of values, because our culture has turned away from valuing the love of neighbor, from respecting difference, from welcoming the stranger. 2,000 years later, Christianity, real Christianity, continues to be revolutionary. The gospel isn't just old news. Jesus' disciples live now, and we're it, all of us. We are called this day to share the good news of eternal life out loud as Christians, because we are followers of Jesus Christ.